Welcome to Chaos MMA.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
I'm here to make the division great again. I'm the people's champ.
Donald Trump's favorite fighter.
All right, so first of all, how are you doing?
Yeah, doing really good, mate. Just training hard, trying to improve the skill set. Just going day by day, man, taking it as it is. And yeah, like I say, just trying to become a better mixed martial artist. That's what I'm doing every day.
Yeah,
and congratulations on the win. Can you explain how was like the lead up to your like first UFC fight and that fight as well?
Yeah. Do you know what? It felt like very natural. It felt like the natural progression for me as what I wanted to do next in my career. Like whenever I got signed to the UFC, you know, went on from Cage Warriors after being the champion and stuff like that, it just felt like the next thing for me to want to do. And like it's been my dream for years. And like, you know, I'll constantly watch guys like John Jones and you know, guys in my division like doing really well and stuff like that. Yeah. It'd always be like a very inspirational and motivating factor for me. So, but yeah, when it came to being right out there in front of my face, like, you know, actually being real and like, you know, and stuff like that, man, it was absolutely amazing. It's everything I had imagined it to be, and even more. So, like I say, I take on every single situation, every pressure situation, every sort of crazy, you know, outlandish sort of experience, and I just take it head on, and I really enjoy it and embrace it. So, nothing really changed from any other fight to this fight being in the UFC. It just, you know, when you hear Bruce Buffer call out your name, you know, the Baltic Gladiator and stuff like that, you know, it just brings another bit of fire towards you. It just makes you want to perform even more. I mean, listen, you've got Dana White and you've got other people out there, you know, watching you and stuff like that. So you want to make sure you put on a good performance. So I think with the stakes being higher, that's why you see a high level of fights in the UFC, because people want to do better. And that goes the same for me also.
So during the lead up to your first UFC fight, how was training during all this? Was it like different with all the Corona stuff, or that didn't affect you at all?
For me, it didn't. It didn't affect me, just because I've been blessed with a lot of amazing opportunities, and like I said, I'm very grateful for that. I mean, listen, when you got your head coach, you know, literally living across the room from you, there's no way you're not going to be able to train. You know what I mean? So. Yeah. We used to have like a summer house downstairs in our garden. So we live in an apartment, but downstairs we have like a little garden that we bought off of our neighbors. And yeah, we used to have like this flimsy summer house. Like the walls were like so thin. Like in winter, you go in there, you'd breathe, and you look like a dragon. You know what I mean? Breathing smoke and that. At one point it just came to, you know, my dad came to sort of decide, well, we need to sort of make this a better facility just for us to train. And so, you know, we got one of our family members to help us out, and the next thing you know, we sort of built a gym down in our back garden, so we have the facility to be able to train. So realistically, the only thing that changed was, you know, I would go to like my outside sessions where I'd go and do like my grappling or you know, my other group sort of sessions or whatever. But everything else stayed the same. All the pad work stayed the same with my dad, all the strength and conditioning. At the beginning of lockdown, I would use the second session to run more, so improve my endurance, improve my cardio. But then as lockdown measures sort of decreased slightly, and, you know, maybe somewhat bending the rules a little bit, but, you know, obviously I'm not supposed to be saying anything like that, but whatever. I'll bring training partners to my house and we'll train. So everything what I found leading up to my UFC debut and all through lockdown, everything has been very specific to me. And I've been very, like I say, very grateful and happy that I've got such amazing training partners that are all helping me and gearing me towards my goal. As much as I'm trying to, you know, help them and make them better, they're really caring to make me better. So overall, as a team effort, we're just all collectively, you know, improving and rising up together. So, yeah, man, like I say, it's not really... If anything, the lockdown has made me even better, because I've had a bit more of a stringent sort of focus on what I need to do in the cage.
So you get on Fight Island. How were like all the precautions on there, and like how many times did you get tested for Corona?
Yeah, so it was actually quite strict. But again, I'm very happy that it is that strict.
Exactly.
Once we had to actually go to a hotel in London 2 days before we flew out, and we had to quarantine there for 2 days. We weren't allowed outside our rooms at all. This at this point, we were in our rooms separately. We got tested once there. Then once we port, we got tested again. Then we landed in Abu Dhabi. Then we got tested again. And then once we passed that test, we had to get tested another time. We also had to quarantine in Abu Dhabi once we landed there for about 2 days. So, it was very strict and stringent with their testing. But at the same time, I'm very happy that they did all that, because it just showed that all the precautions were in place. Like, you know, a lot of people were skeptical about, how is Dana White going to make sure this is safe? It was literally the safest thing that you could possibly imagine. They've done it perfectly. I mean, I'm not sure how much money they must have spent on all of that, but it must have been quite a vast amount for them to be able to pull off exactly what they managed to do on Fire Island. So, I was very happy with the way that they done it. Obviously, it meant that training had to be sort of adjusted slightly. Luckily, when I was in Abu Dhabi, I was with my dad, so I was able to still train with him like as normal as I would do if I was at home. But obviously, when I'm in my room by myself in London, I had to, in a small, cramped up hotel room, things had to be slightly different. But other than that, man, I enjoyed the whole experience. So, yeah, they really took it to full length to make sure that everyone was safe.
Yeah, speaking of being quarantined for 2 days and training, like, how was it training? Like, did you have, like, a big room to train? And could you train with any partners?
Yeah, so during quarantine in London, I was there literally by myself. So I had to just... Wow. Either ask my dad or ask my other coaches, what should I do? And I literally just got a little workout and got a little sweat in just to sort of control the weight for about 40 minutes, maximum 50, just to get a little sweat in and work on my techniques and sort of go over it in my mind. And then in Abu Dhabi, actually, we had a massive room. Like, literally, me and my dad together, like, we just had to move a couple bits of furniture around. And it was literally, like, a normal training space. If we had mats on the floor, it would have been perfect. But obviously, that came later whenever we were out of quarantine. Yeah, because I had my dad in my room, all the training carried on as normal. So, again, very grateful, very lucky that I had my head coach with me. So I'm pretty sure that's the same for some of the other fighters as well.
100%.
But yeah, the room was amazing in Abu Dhabi. Like, 5 stars, you couldn't have asked for anything better.
So how are you, when you walked to your first UFC fight, like, how were you? Like, did you have a lot of nerves and stuff?
I think Cage Warriors done a very good job of preparing you for nerves. I mean, okay. I fought in very high profile fights. I fought in fights where I was literally banked on to lose. So a lot of those fights, being used to that pressure, being used to the intensity of being in a high profile fight, it just made me that more ready to go into the UFC and do the business again. Like, when I fought on the main, I only fought on the main card once for Cage Warriors, which is, as you can imagine, must be quite shocking considering that I was the champion and I still hadn't been on the main card. So, when I finally got on the main card, like I said, everything felt normal. Like I said, how it should have been. This is what I've been ready for. This is what I've been training for. This is what I've been literally preparing my whole life to do. So when it comes and stands right in front of there, looking at you in your face, you have no choice but just take it on full swing. So the same way in the UFC, I'd visualize, I'd imagine, I've literally been there a million times before I even went out there. So I think that all helped collectively, so that when I went into the cage, it felt like a normal fight. It felt like a Cage Warriors fight. I mean, obviously there's no crowd and stuff like that, but it felt like another fight, just with UFC gloves, the UFC, uniform that we had to wear. And that was it. The different announcers and different people looking after you and stuff like that. But because it was such a high importance of fight, like I said, I feel like I just rose up to the challenge. And I think every fighter does so, or most fighters tend to rise up to the challenge when they get announced to the UFC. So I definitely felt the same way here. It was weird because it was almost less nerves than I felt in Cage Warriors. It felt more natural, like, okay, cool. Maybe that had an effect with there being no crowd. But like I say, it was an amazing experience, and I loved every bit of it.
Yeah, so at the end of the first round in the fight, the round was over and your opponent looked a little out of it after those elbows, and he was just like sitting there. And then when he like fell out of the cage after it opened, like, what were you thinking during like the whole process, like watching it?
I mean,
like, did you think the fight was over before like any of it happened?
Well, this is the thing. I saw he was very dazed. He was not getting up for anything, and he literally it looked like he just could not stand up at all.
I went to my corner as if, okay, cool, I'm going on to the next round. That was all that was on my head, is I'm getting ready for the next round. I went to my corner, and then Daniel Movahedi, amazing officiating, amazing refereeing, says to the guy, stand up. Like, come on, the shots were good, stand up. And he didn't stand up. And I felt like there was a lot of commotion and a lot of sort of focus on this whole door opening fiasco, and I felt like there shouldn't have been such focus on that. I mean, listen, the guy was out. When the referee is asking you to stand up, I mean, no disrespect to my opponent, he's an amazing competitor, an amazing athlete, and, you know, like I say, give all credit to him, but at the same time, you know, if the referee is asking you to stand up and you're not standing up, what does that mean? You're not ready to fight.
Yeah.
That is what he's asking you to do. He's asking, are you ready to fight or not? And clearly he wasn't. If you have to lean on the cage, if you have to lean on the cage to be able to stand back up or whatever, that means you're not ready to fight. Yeah. Even then, a lot of people are saying, oh yeah, well, he was just trying to lean on the cage to recuperate himself. Well, he would have just been leaning on the cage. He wasn't able to stand up. Even when the stool came in afterwards, after he announced the fight was over, he was still shaky. Like, he couldn't stand up properly. So at the end of the day, man, he was not ready to go into the second round. And as soon as Daniel Movahedi called it off, then I was like, okay, that's the rush or the release of all the ecstatic energy from the fight was gone. The adrenaline was gone, because I knew it was over. But, you know, up until that point, I was ready to go to the second round. I'm like, okay, you've seen what I can do in the first round. You ain't seen nothing yet. Let's get ready for the second round. And then obviously the referee called it off. But yeah, man, like I said, I'm always ready to fight no matter what. So doesn't matter, you know, if the referee is going to call it off or not, I'm always ready to fight no matter what.
So you get your first win in July, and then I saw one of your tweets, I think it was last week, you said you had some news. Can they get back in there, and has anything like done yet?
Yeah, I can't say anything at all. Okay. At the minute, I've been advised by my management not to do so, but just know that I'll be fighting very soon. Within the next couple of months, you're going to see me back in the cage and back doing the business. Okay. So just know something's already, like, literally the contracts have been signed. I actually find it funny that they haven't announced it yet. But yeah, the contracts have been signed from both sides.
Okay. So say in your next fight, you take no damage, like your first fight, you win again. Would you be willing to get in there like another time for your third time before the end of the year?
100%. I'm looking to get in there again at the end of the year if it's possible. Like I say, if you go out there, do your job, you go and win, you go and do your thing, they'll treat you well. You know, at the end of the day, it's up to you to go and do that. So, you know, I've got to be confident in myself, confident in my ability, and go out and do the job. It's written there on my, I've actually got a board, which is like my, you know, sort of my vision board that I put down all the different things that I really want to happen. And like I say, I've already been able to tick off two of those things off of my list. Now one of the things is I will compete for the UFC three times this year and win all three. So listen, you better believe that I'm going to make all that stuff happen. So yeah, 100%. I'd love to get in there after this one. But again, I'm not looking past this fight. I've got to go out there, do the job for this next one, and then we can look on to the third one.
Just like a question for the future. So, like, as you get into your UFC career, is there any specific opponent you would like to fight before you're done and all?
Listen, my dream matchup, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Like, if you're asking, like, what's your absolute dream matchup, like the one that you feel like would literally just be the peak of your legacy, it would be to fight Jon Jones. Okay. I mean, listen, he is the GOAT, the greatest of all time, the best mixed martial artist that has ever lived. Imagine fight standing across the cage and going toe-to-toe with a guy like that. And having trained with him previously, it would mean so much. Like, for me, I respect him so much as an athlete and as a person. I would love to compete against someone of such a high caliber. It would mean so much to me as a competitor to be able to do so. So, that would be like my absolute dream matchup, just because, I mean, he's, like I said, he's the greatest of all time. I mean, for you to fight your idols like Anderson Silva and stuff like that, the best that's ever to have done it, that means a hell of a lot as a competitor. So obviously that would be something that I would love to do if ever that opportunity arises.
So you said trained with Jon Jones. How is that like? Like, how is it training one of the best of all time?
It was amazing. You learn a hell of a lot. Do you know one thing that was really quite promising for me was seeing that, you know, that he did admire my skill set as much as obviously, you know, he threw me around and stuff like that. He was asking me to spar with him every day. And, you know, wow. I've got so much completely such amazing, valuable experiences that I'll never get from anywhere else. And just be able to talk to him and, you know, be friends with him and this and that, and really get an insight into what he's like and stuff like that. It was very motivating for me, you know, being my idol since I started, you know, really pursuing MMA properly. It really meant a lot to be able to train one of the best. I was just so humble and so grateful I had that opportunity. But yeah, man, like I say, it just shows that, listen, if I can hang in there when I'm 20, when I was 22 with a much smaller, you know, not as varied, not as broad skill set as I do now, to hang in there with one of the best in the world, like literally the best in the world when I was younger, it meant that I know I can do this in the sport. Give me a couple of years and I know I can go and rise there to the top. It means I'm meant to be there at the top. It's just a case of when is that going to happen, and now I'm starting my rise to get to the top. And like I say, I just got to keep proving to people that I am of that top caliber. And if the first performance didn't do that for people, just wait till the next one.
Okay.
And so back to the fight. What was it, weird fighting with no fans there?
I would say it was and it wasn't. So usually in a fight, and I walk out, obviously I haven't fought in like tens of thousands. I've fought in mainly like thousands at maximum. But you don't notice anything. Yeah. You have like tunnel vision. Like when you go out, oh yeah, I noticed some of my friends, my family, this or that, some of my fans, some people trying to, you know, shake my hand and that. But I'm literally tunnel vision to the cage. All I see is the opponent in the cage and I see nothing else. I see them before I walk out. But as soon as I walk out, that's it. All I see is the cage. So in respect to that, it felt exactly like that. It felt like I may have had fans or this or that, but the same tunnel vision approach happened again here. So it felt no different. It almost felt like, you know, whenever I was in, I remember training in Brazil before my first pro fight. And, you know, you're literally only two people on sparring days, only two people in the cage at a time. And you're literally going like full on, like blow for blow with some of the toughest guys in the gym. Yeah. And all the guys are just watching around, like, you know, standing around the cage waiting till their turn. So it almost had that sort of dynamic to it because you're the only two in the cage, but yet there's a load of people like watching around. So like I said, it felt nothing out of the ordinary for me. And I'm very glad that I've been able to have that, those experiences, to be able to be prepared for something like that.
Yeah. All right, so That's all we got for you today. Thank you. We're big fans. And if you got any if you want to shout out any sponsors or anything, the floor is yours.
Oh, thank you so much, mate. I really appreciate you having having me on and stuff like that. I just want to say a massive thank you to Iridium Sports Agency and everyone part of the agency. They've all helped me from all angles, just within my career and my marketing and stuff like that. They've been absolutely amazing, and I couldn't have asked for a better management. So big shout out to them. Mawla MMA, big time brand, big time clothing brand. We're going to do even more bigger things this year, next year. And the man's always supported me from day one, and I've got to give a massive thank you. Mm-hmm. Distinct Physiotherapy, another woman behind the scenes that does so much for me that people don't often hear about. Leanne from Distinct Physiotherapy. I had bursitis 2 weeks out from the fight, my leg looking like a watermelon. I still managed to go out there and perform. How do I do that? My physio literally tended to my injury straight away. Literally, a phone call, bang, appointment done. So I've got to give her an absolute massive shout. Got to give a massive shout as well to BST Academy, Legion Wrestling, Mill Hill Academy, Ed Ingemels and Thomas Reynolds. Got to thank Hodger Gracie's Academy. Got to thank Gintas Combat. Obviously, my dad, Danny Batten, Denison Sutherland. And all my training partners as well. Like, you know, there's a lot of guys that, you know, don't get named that much, but obviously you might see them in some of my Instagram stories. But those guys have been with me, you know, like I say, since the beginning. They got me to the level that I am now because of how competitive they are, how much they want, you know, they want to get better. They want to make me better. And they all just live and they get hungry off of that. And they're happy to sort of help each other evolve. So I've got to be really thankful for them, man. I know there's going to be a couple of companies that I've probably left out. I've got to thank SoRight. That is another big company. Oh my gosh, with recovery, I couldn't have asked for anything better. Those tools that they have, like for the psoas muscle and stuff like that, massive shout out to them. Always hooking up and always helping me out. Sanctipue is another clothing brand that has been helping me very closely. Like okay. I said, and Fighter Shop UK, always giving me all the stuff that I need to go out there and compete and go out and spar and help with my training. So listen, everyone, this is a massive team. Loads of help from everyone. And listen, we're all going to rise up and do big things together. So thank you to everyone.
All right, awesome. Thank you for coming on, man. We're big fans. We can't wait to watch you fight next.
All right.
And yeah, thank you a lot for coming on, bro. All right,
awesome. Thank you so much, guys, for having me. And I can't wait to put on another crazy performance for you.
We look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you.
All right, nice one, lads. All right, take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
You too. All right, thank you guys for watching. Make sure you guys follow us at KSMMA on Twitter and Instagram. As you may have heard, we now work for MMA Sucka, so you can also check us out on our new podcast on that website. So, yeah, thank you guys for watching, and we'll catch you next time.